Thank you.
Okay. So this is the working group one of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. The review team has arranged into working groups, and the working groups one is working on board, and we have defined two broad areas of interest for us. One about board composition, skill sets, and so on, and one about the transparency of the board decisions making and the explanation of the resolution to the community. So today with you, Aisha, we wanted to focus on the second area and discuss with you, because that's a point that's been raised by the International Chamber of Commerce many times at the board review, and again when you submitted comment to the ATRC. So we will be very interested to discuss with you this subject. So what you've done is that Chris has drafted a text and some questions.
Okay.
And maybe we can just go through the questions. Is that fine with you, Chris?
That's fine, yeah.
You have the text, Chris?
I do.
You want to do it? Let's do it.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes, all right. Hold on.
Your text.
I'll try not to cough too much while I'm speaking. Aisha, we're just looking for sort of general input, and anything specific, of course, that you have to say. Our first overarching question is, do current ICANN processes deliver transparency and accountability with regard to A, how issues are chosen for board consideration, B, how decisions are taken and on what grounds, and C, how the decisions are communicated to stakeholders? Now, just as a sort of caveat over the top of that, there are obviously a series of decisions that are chosen, that are not chosen for board consideration, that have to be considered by the board. And those are the sort of, you know, legally required or corporate law required decisions. But equally, there are a number of decisions that there's nothing written down anywhere that says they have to be decided by the board. And the best example I can give you of that is redelegations. There's no reason at all why the board has to make that decision, except that that's what's happened in practice. And so a lot of this stuff is practice rather than requirement. So do you want to sort of just run with that and see what you come up with? Because, you know, just generally what you think about transparency and accountability in respect to board decisions would be really helpful.
Thank you, Chris. Yes, I'm happy to run with that. Well, I think, you know, the overarching focus of ICC's input over the past several months, a couple of years, has been the need to improve trust, confidence, transparency, and accountability in the board. We're focused on the board today. So, and in terms of the understanding that the community has about how decisions are made. Now, I would point out that there have been a couple of improvements in the past months. The fact that the board is now putting up its briefing materials for the public board meeting. As far as I can tell, I haven't seen briefing materials posted for any of the committee meetings or the retreat type of format of the board meetings. So I would say that is a step forward. When we look more carefully at the minutes of the board meetings and the committee meetings, already the fact that they're being posted is an improvement. And I would say, from our perspective, the next step forward is to include more of an analysis of how the decision was arrived at. In my review of the minutes thus far, I see a lot of statements and less analysis. The briefing materials posted for the June meeting, for example, are going in the right direction. They do summarize the comments. They provide input on facts, and then they redact the areas which I assume have been decided to be confidential and not appropriate for public consumption. So the part that is still, I think, an area of improvement that's needed is there's not enough analysis provided for someone who's not present in the discussions to understand how perhaps their public comments are being responded to, or how were they discussed, and why was a decision arrived not to take a certain concern or position into as the decision, if that makes sense. I think that we have to balance all of this overall in ICANN and specifically in this board context with information overload. So transparency is not necessarily achieved by putting up a full transcript. I do think the minutes and summaries are helpful. Again, I think they need to go in a step further so that if, for instance, ICC or anybody else has put up a public comment, we can go to the minutes and understand how they were those comments were taken into consideration and what analysis was done to say, we looked at this issue that was raised by several people and we decided this because X, Y, Z, and Q points were made about why this was not workable. Something to that effect would be, I think, very helpful in building confidence in the community to understand that when they put input in through the public comment process, when it comes up to the board for analysis and decision-making, that it's been considered.
Yeah. So, so given your experience in sort of business generally, I mean, this requirement or expectation of transparency in ICANN is not something you would normally expect, or you wouldn't hear necessarily complaints about it in the business world, would you? Because it's you know, in the business world, there's sort of set of principles that operate. Generally speaking, about what's available for the shareholders and what's not, right?
That's right.
So is there anything that you can point to that you think that's similar to ICANN that can be used as an example? I can't think of one, but I just thought you might be able to.
I can't think of one. I think that is one of the unique qualities of ICANN is, you know, it is not like the ICC organization or a company in the fact that there are different expectations. It is there are expectations from a community that is part of numerous processes that feed into the board's decision making. I think that there's an important line. I do respect that, you know, and I think ICC respects that there are deliberations within a body that is making decisions that need to be able to be off the record and need to be able to be frank and open. But because of an expectation of greater transparency than in many other fora of ICANN and its board and the decisions that are taken with community input, that line may be further out than it is in other contexts.
How do you judge that ICANN isn't as transparent as it could be? How do you know that?
Well, I think the assessment is, I mean, our assessment is based on what information do we get about decision-making, what information do we get about the analysis done of public comments, and what understanding do we have when we see a decision taken by the board of how they arrived at that. And is our input reflected somewhere in the discussion, analysis, or decision making?
So, on an individual decision, a list of documents taken into account. Now, that's not just the board book; that could be other things as well, obviously. A list of documents taken into account would go towards saying this is how we built our decision, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would be helpful.
What it doesn't do, of course, is account for discussions on board lists, board members looking at discussions on other lists, board members having discussions with individuals in the community, and so on. That sort of stuff's pretty hard to monitor.
Yeah, and to capture. I mean, I think that that's where what the objective is to find a realistic, pragmatic, and effective way of providing the community with enough information about the steps along the way to coming to a decision by this board, and an understanding does not have to include every single conversation and source of information that somebody on the board may have had as input. I don't think that's very realistic.
No, but if you got a list of, see, the problem, so the board book is published, leaving aside the stuff that's redacted from the board book, the board book is, the intention anyway, is that the board book would be published, so if there was a board meeting today, mm-hmm. that the board book for that board meeting would be published at the next board meeting. So the community is running a month behind, which is probably perfectly acceptable in the circumstances. But leaving the board book is obviously the summary board book is the summary of stuff, and there's the annex, which is full of documents. So that plus anything else that has been looked at, as published as a list, would give a flavour. The second thing arises, of course, is that when you have interpretations, that's when it becomes problematic, doesn't it? Because it's all very well saying the board has looked at the public comment, but the board may have also looked at the staff summary of the public comment. Are you of a mind that the staff summary of public comment is sometimes problematic?
I think that you know, we haven't had a lot of experience yet with these board briefing materials, but I think it will be important in the future to understand that the staff summaries of public comments are balanced and reflective of the range of views expressed, that they are calling attention to the board of specific recommendations or specific reasoning and interests in a comprehensive way, and I haven't done an analysis from this angle to be able to say to you this board briefing material was meeting the criteria and the other wasn't, but what I can say is I think it makes sense to have a certain set of criteria for what the briefing materials should be to the board. We have not at ICC analyzed this timing issue that you've brought up, and I think it's a very interesting one. On the one hand, if the public comment forum before a board decision is going to be well informed about what is the board considering in terms of information as they go in to the public comment forum and listen to people provide their input orally and then are going to go in and take decisions, I mean, the timing of the public seeing briefing materials could be something that needs to be really thought about.
Okay. So, why?
Short follow-up on this question. Would you have? Could you just like that give us an example where the counterexample of a decision that was really not explained by the board?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we raised in our input was about the selection of the trusted community representatives for the DNSSEC route signing. Some things may require that the community is not informed before, but is it an example of the community not knowing before, and it's something to consider that the community could be given information about certain processes or decisions ahead of time, and that would go to transparency and building confidence. Just before I lose the thought, I was also looking at the minutes of the Board Governance Committee, Public Participation Committee, et cetera, and they are on the one hand, we're saying we now are at a point where the briefing materials to the board are being provided publicly, whatever the timing is, but the granular analysis and decision-making on several issues takes place at a different level, at the committee level. And again, this is not something that ICC's community has analyzed in depth, but applying the principles that we put forward, I would say some consideration should be given to giving a bit more information about what are these committees considering. Because eventually what they consider and what they recommend to the broader board is very important, since the whole board is not diving deep into every single one of the committee's topics.
Sure.
That could help.
I just want to go back a step. We talked about the staff summary of public comments. This is a document that has in the past for some people been problematic because they've said, you know, it's biased or whatever. I suppose really the first question to ask is why is it necessary? And one assumes it's necessary because the public comment, they don't expect the board to read the full public comment. Which is understandable to some extent if, you know, the public comment's long and lots of input and lengthy input. And some of it, of course, will be irrelevant and some of it will be relevant. But I'm wondering whether it mightn't be, and this just occurred to me, Aisha, so I'm just interested to see what you think. If people were encouraged when putting in their public comment to put in a sort of executive summary paragraph that would go into a document that goes to the board automatically without needing to be paraphrased by anybody.
That's a very interesting idea. I mean, depending upon the public comment, the amount of public comment received on a certain thing, even an executive summary paragraph for every single comment may be really voluminous. But in many cases, I think that kind of a template would be really helpful, and then that way, as you're saying, it would just be a cut and paste instead of an interpretation, which may actually give the board, may meet criteria for making sure that the inputs are coming through as they are.
Right.
It's an interesting idea.
Okay. The next section, or the second section of our thoughts on transparency, is such a sort of lead-in that says, could stakeholder engagement and support be improved by the introduction of codified mechanisms for taking communicating board decisions? And then we've just got a list of examples here, and you've kind of started to talk about this, so I'll just read through the examples, then we can see where we go with it. So the sorts of things are the timely release of relevant detailed board materials. Now we're saying probably that's already being done in the new context of releasing the board book, briefing documents, prep materials, and transcripts of decisions. The issue there, I think, and we're all of us not used to it yet, so it's hard to know, is there a policy for what gets redacted, procedure rather for what gets redacted and why? The second thing is an explanation of how community inputs are received and considered. So you might see something like the board saying, well, you know, yes, I did read all of the comments, or no, I didn't. A published rationale for board decisions, including the advice on which the decisions were based, and formalized mechanisms to communicate decisions and reasons to stakeholders. Do those sorts of things strike you as being worthwhile in any way and covering the areas that you consider to be deficient?
Absolutely. I think that they do. I think just generally speaking, it's helpful to have, I've been referring to it as criteria or what have you, but for instance, it is better for everyone if there's an understanding of the criteria by which information will be redacted. And then it's clear to everybody when something will be redacted, when it won't, and why when you see a black spot, it's there. I think it is really important to have, you're using the word codified, I would say, you know, having a clear understanding of the criteria and the parameters for each of the examples you've raised would make it easier on everybody, and it will also reduce the questioning, because we can also envision otherwise a public comment forum spending a lot of time analyzing and questioning and putting the board and staff in a position of having to respond to criteria questions. How did they do X, Y, and Z? So if everyone agrees and everyone knows what the criteria will be, it would be, I think, a more effective way to put things into place. Your other examples are all going to the points that I've raised. Having a brief understanding of the analysis done, the information reviewed, language to the effect of we noted that there were inputs saying X, Y, and Z. We considered this. The reasons why we felt that X and Y were not meeting the objective or whatever are this, that, and the other. That gives the range of people who have provided public comment a much better understanding of what the resolution at the end is. I think it's also building. Otherwise, it feels to many that the inputs come in, they float up somewhere through processes up to the board, and then there's a decision. But this will create a much better feeling of understanding, and even if the decision at the end is not one that some people's interests expressed would be consistent with or would agree with it, they're in a much better position to understand and therefore accept a decision.
Yep, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's better both for the people who are submitting public comments and for the general stakeholders that are listening or reading the board decision.
Yeah. I mean, the challenge with all of this, of course, is there's no template that fits over the top of everything because, you know, there are some board decisions that are simply just board decisions. I mean, they don't need to have a massively large amount of explanation attached to them. But there are other board decisions, for example, the resolutions that have been released from the retreat in Trondheim, which currently simply say, if I can find them, here we are. I mean, they're making momentously important decisions that affect the new GTLDs, but there's little explanation provided.
I agree with you, and I think that that's where I'm just taking the principles we've expressed and putting them forward to this example. Perhaps one of the criteria to consider would be, has a board decision been taken on something that is an issue that has been the subject of public comment, B, an issue that is going to the security, stability, and integrity. You can come up with some areas where it would then put, say that it would then explain that these types of topics need to have the kind of decision analysis of comment and decision analysis of interests and issues included, and then other board resolutions where, as you say, they're just board decisions, and those things maybe don't need an explanation. Because I think one of the things that we're trying to respond to in improving the explanation, analysis, and information about board input and decision-making is how is it being responsive to the community's input and the community's interests.
Mm. Yes. I'm just scrolling through the GTLD resolutions now, just to find an example. Okay, so 2.2 is new GTLD applicant support. And it simply says, support to applicants will generally include outreach and education to encourage participation, but any direct financial support for applicant fees must come from sources outside of ICANN. Staff will publish a list of organizations that request assistance, blah, blah, blah. Now, I know that there was a lot of discussion about whether ICANN should actually be providing financial support, et cetera, but none of that's reflected in that resolution. The people on the outside who have been working extremely hard to try to come up with a mechanism that would enable support to be provided to those that can't afford to pay are not going to be in any way comforted by this resolution because it doesn't tell them anything about why the decision's been reached.
Well, I think that's exactly, you know, what our input has been about and what I've discussed earlier in this conversation. That's okay. The kind of thing that it would be very helpful to improve, and I think it builds confidence in the board's decision-making by doing that.
Sure. Okay. Olivier, do you have anything else?
No, I think it's fine.
Good. Aisha, did you want to say anything else?
No, I would like to just thank you for the opportunity and wish you good luck in your work ahead.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Will I see you next week? Are you coming to Brussels? You're probably not, are you?
No, I'm not.
Bertrand is there, so.
Right.
Right. Good. Got that sorted then.
Okay.
See ya.
All the best.
Take
bye-bye.
Care.
Okay, see you. Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.